If you will just bow your heads for a moment, say, Father, give me ears to hear,
eyes to see
what your Spirit is about to speak to me. So you're not here for your neighbors. You're not here for anyone else but you. And a lot of times we take a message and we look at it and we say, boy, could I fix that one. Now, that probably never happened to you guys, but it's happened to me. Uh-huh. Can we just wait now that we've started the message?
Yes.
I want you to look at verse 45 of Luke chapter 24. That's the verse we're going to push into our hearts today. Verse 45 of Luke 23. If you look at verse 1, you'll see that it's preceded by the resurrection. But there's a word. Yes? 24. But I'm looking at verse 45 to begin with. We do things backwards sometimes just to prove a point. And it's something that probably you might conceive is foreign to you because it doesn't match emotions. Verse 45 says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Say, then.
Then.
He opens my mind.
He opens my mind.
So I can understand.
So I can understand.
The scriptures.
The scriptures.
Not me opening up my own mind.
Amen.
Not me doing the work. But trusting him for a change. Got it? Well, back it up. And verse 1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the tomb rolled up. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Dramatic is that the Lord can walk on water but can't walk through stones. Yet he walked through walls later on. Why did he leave the stone or roll it away? It had been sealed, by the way, by the Roman guards. Why did he roll away the stone?
This is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he did it to show that things could be changed.
Yeah, that's a good start. He also knew, huh?
Evidence.
Go ahead.
As evidence.
Evidence. Okay, good. What else?
Nothing could contain him.
Nothing could contain him. He could have went right through if he wanted to. But he rolled the stone away because there was women on their way. He wanted them, he made a way for them, yes. So they could get in. They brought their equipment. They found a way. You know, I'm sure on their way they must have said, how are we going to get in there? That stone is huge. Okay? While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, these are men, by the way. Why? Because they're men. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. Then he remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others, etc. Now skip over to verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked, discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Look at that, because sometimes you're going to be kept from recognizing what kind of a mess you're in, or what kind of a discussion is going on, and you may not comprehend who comes alongside and gives you a word of encouragement, and it might be Jesus in somebody else's body.
Amen.
Because that's what the corporate body of Christ is. He's a multifaceted believer, running in all of the different vessels in this house. Okay? So sometimes you'll be kept from recognizing that the word is really the Lord coming through their mouth. 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Sneaky Holy Ghost. What kind of a question? He is the Lord. But he says to them, "What are you discussing?" He knows what they're discussing. Why is he saying this? Because he wants to startle them and wake them up. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened to there in these days? The Lord again, "What things?" Is that sneaky or not? He's the one that just came out of the grave, and he's playing with his two kids. He's playing with them. Sometimes he's going to play with you and me. He asked about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, "He was a prophet, woo-hoo, powerful in words and deeds before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So where are they? Emotionally, they're on, "Our country's falling apart. If it wasn't for Obama, we'd be fine." That's a Christian quote, by the way. Who put him there?
We did.
And God did. Is he able to handle our president? Yes, if you pray for him. If you intercede for him instead of criticizing the poor man. He's doing his best. He's doing what comes naturally. You may not like it, but it may be awakening many people. And I'm not a politician, but I am saying something to you. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Have you ever been amazed by a woman?
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I married her. 2 weeks, it's going to be 55 years. Yeah. And I went out for almost 3 years. I'm still with her. Not only Jesus could do that.
Amen.
Go ahead and smile. Good grief, it's not serious.
Poor Irene.
It's a small miracle. No, it's a big miracle. You like that, huh?
Yes.
Are we all in agreement that it is a miracle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because there was a division that lasted a long time. In my opinion, and in hers. Yesterday morning, we were teasing each other. And she says, "Oh, This is terrible. And I said, no, this is resurrection. And we teased you there some more. We have fun. Amen. Anybody that can live with somebody for 55 years, you don't have any fun, there's something wrong.
That's right.
They went to the tomb early in the morning, but they didn't find his body. So what are they really implying? The women have gotten lost their minds. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of an angel. Oh, there's the women again. Who said he was alive. The angel said he was alive. Jesus didn't say he was alive. It was an angel. They're not trusting the angels or the women. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Sometimes you need proof positive that he's alive. Amen? Some of you this morning, because of the word of God coming out of my mouth by his Spirit, have realized that there's a possibility that the Holy Ghost could tattle on you. Take that and ponder on it for a little while. Because it's the same Holy Spirit that does his thing. 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Now you might think that they got a clue when this comment came out of his mouth, but they didn't. They didn't catch on. There were many years before the scripture came alive to me. I read the word for 10 years, but when the Holy Ghost came in, he opened my eyes and he opened my mind so that I could understand the scriptures. Without the Holy Ghost, it's just a book.
Amen.
Without the Holy Spirit, you're reading and reading and reading and studying and studying and you're trying and trying and you get where?
Nowhere.
Thank you. So you need the Holy Ghost. 27. And beginning with Moses, all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So he's advertising who he is, what happened to him, and why, and they're still not catching it. Watch. You say, I am not the only one that has dull hearing. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we have dull hearing, even after the Holy Ghost. We want it our way. 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. This is another sneaky part of our Savior. He wants you to grab him by the shirt tail and say, come on, you're coming to lunch. How many of you have ever had a dinner with the Lord? Sit at your table when you're alone. Set a table for him. And then sit down and enjoy the meal with the lover of your soul.
I have a lot of time.
So have I. Verse 29 is what he's looking for. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. So he needs to be prompted once in a while. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. We broke bread today. Some of you went with an attitude. Some of you went with a heart to be receiving. The mission will be accomplished according to your faith. The mission will be accomplished according to your faith. If you keep believing, you will get what you cried out for. If you doubt, you get absolutely nothing from him. You say, well, I always doubt. Well, get over it. Choose to believe. When the doubts come in, say, no, I'm not doubting today. I am on my way to Emmaus. And on my way to Emmaus, I'm being changed. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's about to open my mind to understand the scriptures. I should have heard an amen there. That was a real, real need, okay? Got it? They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Some of you today, you've already experienced the words coming from someone who ministered to you, and your hearts began to feel the heat. And I don't want a signal from you. I just want you to acknowledge it's not a different Holy Spirit that's working through those vessels that God chose. It's the same God still working corporately in the church. Verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Why would it be important with when he broke the bread? Because he had warned them, "You will recognize me when you remember me when you break bread." While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you," or in shalom. They were startled and frightened. I love this part because I know I would be shaking. Me and you would all be shaking. He'd physically show up and manifest himself here today. You would be shaking.
Amen.
Yeah, you would. Yes, but do me a favor now. If you can find somebody to kind of focus their eyes and your eyes together, find a person, because the scripture says if two agree. So find a pair of eyes. If you need to get up to do it, do it. Say right now.
Right now.
I am going to recognize
that Jesus himself
by his Holy Spirit
could speak to me
through you or through me.
It's not a different spirit.
It's not a different Jesus. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. So he's saying to you, "Peace be with you. And don't be frightened." Amen? Watch the next part. Thinking they saw a ghost. Thinking will bring you into all kinds of stinking stuff. Trusting will get you to the victory. 38. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" Who is he attacking? He's attacking the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." How come he doesn't say blood?
He shed it.
He shed his blood to redeem us. He doesn't need the blood anymore. Now, how about those eyeballs that you had before? Can you look at them again? Say, "Your future body.
Your future body.
Your resurrected body.
Your resurrected body.
Is going to be flesh and bones.
It's going to be flesh and bones.
The blood. You'll give it up. Because it's the power of the soul. It's what causes you to be selfish.
It's what causes you to be selfish.
So now, when you took communion today, there's a new awareness that his blood is flowing right through your body and mine. Hallelujah. You like those apples? How did that feel? How many of you felt weird declaring that word? Put your hand up. See, why does it feel weird? Because we're not accustomed to realizing how awesome he is and the gift he gave us. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Now, how many of you good Christians enjoy eating?
Amen.
Okay. Do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Why would he do that? To show he was real, to show that he had a real body and a digestive tract. Everything else was awesome. Your body is being prepared in the heavenlies for you. You might shed this one someday. Don't get bent out of shape over it because it may wear down. And if it does, so what? The king of the grave will meet you. We're almost there. 44. He sent to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now I want you to close your Bible. I want you to put it on the floor or your seat or wherever, because I want you to stand. Those of you who can. You know, because I don't want this word to have been given to you without an opportunity to receive that gift today, that he can open your minds to understand the scriptures at a deeper level than you've ever had. Are you ready?
We're ready.
We're ready. Are you receiving?
Yes.
Are you choosing to receive?
Yes.
All right. Put your hands up in the air and say, "Father, today."
Father, today.
The same Jesus.
The same Jesus.
That appeared to these men.
That appeared to these men.
On the road to Emmaus.
On the road to Emmaus.
Imparted to them.
Imparted to them.
An ability to receive.
An ability to receive.
An understanding of the scriptures.
An understanding of the scriptures.
And comprehend.
And comprehend.
What this life is all about.
What this life is all about.
I'm asking now.
I'm asking now.
That by your Holy Spirit.
That by your Holy Spirit.
You create a hunger.
You create a hunger
in each and every one of us.
In each and every one of us.
To acknowledge your word.
To acknowledge your word.
To understand your word.
To understand your word.
And then to give it out for those who are dying out there.
And to give it out for those who are dying out there.
Give me the grace.
Give me the grace.
And the understanding.
And the understanding.
That I need.
That I need.
That what you have done in me,
what you have done in me,
I can impart to those that you've prepared.
I can impart to those that you've prepared.
On this resurrection Sunday.
On this resurrection Sunday.
I don't want to be alone in this resurrection.
I don't want to be alone in this resurrection.
I want all of my family.
I want all of my family.
And all of my friends.
And all of my friends.
Saved and healed and delivered.
Saved, healed, and delivered.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel carry you to the finish line of whatever you have done in the past, and know that it has been covered by his blood, because he didn't waste it on the cross. It's still flowing today. And it's still speaking to the Father. They have been set free, and you are free indeed. Celebrate his resurrection.